Shalom, everybody. Rishon Messianic Bible Club. We are here once again on Yom Chameshi. That's Thursday in Hebrew. And we are ready to commence back to our subject of last week, which is finding the rapture. Some people have given up on it. I cannot give up on it. This is just, it's too much for me to give up on. I'm trying to figure out what is this all about. I mean, very defined, it's like you drop breadcrumbs all the way, you know, and I'm picking up breadcrumbs, following my way back to the house. And then the last one I pick up sends me into the wrong direction. I can't believe that. I was like, okay, I got to find out how did God structure this? Because there's just too much evidence in scripture of the 6,000th year being the end of all this time. We're going to go over a couple things today. There's some things I really want to show you in scripture. And why I'm looking so hard at this 2019 and this summer, seeing when the Lord is coming. I hope people aren't blaming me for continuing my search, but it's been a hard, long search, and I am not stopping now. Okay?
15 years.
Yeah, this has been a search, and the person dropping the breadcrumbs has been God. And I'm like, the breadcrumbs are so beautiful. How could you not follow them? And now that we're here, I want to know, okay, now we just got to find our way home. So let's start with our prayer. the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew. And then we're going to get started. I want you to pray over the message as the Lord leads me as we study. We're going to study today, okay? So let's get into this. Avanu shaba shabaim yikdeshimcha tavo melchutek yaserotzanaka be aretz ke asher neasa b'shamayim ten lanu hayom lechem hukenu uselak lanu et ashmitenu ke asher solechem anachnu le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu lede masa, keim hatilanu min hara, leolamei leolamim, amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillin, and bonalek, let's go. Let's get started. Okay? So, I wanted to show you guys something you probably already know, but I want to talk to you about what's coming up. And what's coming up is the 9th of Av. Okay, the 9th of Av is August 10th and August 11th. Okay? I told you guys, I think, last Wednesday that someone called me and said, hey, Pastor Sandy, you know, the 9th of Av is coming up, and Israel lost both their temples on the 9th of Av, and the only temple that's in the world right now for them to lose is the church, who is the closest friend to Israel, right? So the first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av, okay? Incredible thing, okay? 605 BC or something of that nature, right? Then in 70 AD, on the exact same day, the 9th of Av, the second temple gets destroyed. And Israel loses the second temple. And now, here we are, after the 6,000th year, after their 70th, and here we are, and now coming up is the 9th of Av, and the only temple that exists right now, because Israel does not have a physical temple, the only temple that exists in the whole world is the body of Christ, which God resides in. So if God takes away that temple, what will start? And now, you know, that's a very interesting thing that I need to study. I need to study what happened to in world events right after the temple was destroyed? Was there a serious tribulation that occurred with the nation of Israel? Because I know after 70 AD and the temple was destroyed, they were immediately attacked and dispersed out of the land. So, and that began a great time of trouble for the nation of Israel. And I know that in 70 AD, I mean, on the 9th of Av, in 605 BC or so, that once the temple was destroyed, same thing happened. They went into, Jerusalem actually went into servitude to Babylon, and then they were in trouble once again. So if the 9th of Av should present itself as the church being gone and that third temple being taken away, because we are the biggest friend of Israel. Mm-hmm. We are Israel's greatest friend. I'm sitting here with a Star of David on. This, of course, is my dog chain because I'm in the army of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Ben. And so if this temple should be taken away from Israel, Israel's greatest friend in the world, which is the born again Christian, if that should be taken away, then perhaps the trouble will begin once again for the nation of Israel. And then Psalms 118 will begin to take place, the war against the nation to try and destroy them. And then, of course, at the very end of that, Jesus Christ will come with his church behind him and rescue the nation of Israel. Yeah. And so that's the plan. The plan has not changed. It's a 6,000-year plan, and we're still waiting for it to be to come to fruition. So here we are today, and we're going to study a couple of things. Now, one of the things that really bugs me about the breadcrumbs is this, and I'm gonna show it to you. If we go to Genesis, I read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. In that first verse of the Bible, which says so much about the whole Bible, in that first verse, in Hebrew writing, there are six olives. And we know that the letter aleph in Hebrew is a one. We also know that if you're going to say the word thousand in Hebrew, you have to say the word aleph, okay? So if you write it, it's a one, but if you say it, it's a thousand. Getting back to the Peter's epistle, which says, a day unto the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. So we know that God is on this 6,000-year plan. Now, the greatest thing to happen for me was, when God decided, when God said, look, after Jacob worked a full 6 days for his bride, a full week for his bride, which is a 6 day work week, and he got his first bride, the second time he comes back and he says, and Jacob agrees to work an additional seven, which is a typology of Christ, yes, agreeing to work an additional 7 years so that he can properly gain his second bride. I'm all with that. And so I understand the additional 7 years. When it begins is something that we need to look at. But this is what I want to talk to you about. That 6,000 years and that aleph being a one and saying the word aleph being a thousand, and there being six olives in Genesis chapter one. And then out of the blue, when I'm sitting in my office, God has me read this very important chapter in the book of Revelation, being Revelation chapter 20. Now, you tell me what you think, because we're going to read the whole chapter here, this whole chapter 20. Well, we're going to read up to verse 7. We could read more if the Lord, if the Holy Spirit says to do so, but incredible. There is a young lady right now. Her name is Pamela. I can't pronounce her last name. I think it's Hewer. But she is going through the Hebrew Bible course online. She goes online on our site and she pulls up the classes that she wants to look at because she's trying. She's asked me, like she says, she's ready to take the test, the first test. And so she's going through the classes and she's learning Hebrew. She really has a lot of vigor to get this done on her own, right? So she's going through it and she's doing a great job. I just want to commend her on doing that. But if any of you want to learn Hebrew, it's right there online. All the classes are right there, learning to write the letters, learning to what the letters mean and everything. So anyway, here we are at this thousand year thing. So now, I always say, it is God on January 3rd, 2003, or January 1st, 2003, that says, okay, I'm putting before you a 6,000 year count to get you to the understanding that the world doesn't last forever. I'm on a time clock. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's in 2003. And so what the Lord has me read when I come in, because when I did the 6,000 year count, I ended at 2017, right? So I'm reading Revelation chapter 20. And listen, this is all about the beginning of the millennial reign and the resurrection. Now watch this. It says, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Okay? Now, that's the first 1,000 in this chapter, in this these verses that we're going to read. We're going to read all the way to verse 7. Then it says, he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years are ended. And that's the second 1,000 years. But it's telling you about how the millennium is about to begin. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. He says, I saw thrones which were seated, those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, and that's the third 1,000. And then it says the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were over, and that's the fourth 1,000. Then it says this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection, because the first resurrection is the resurrection of all those who will be living. It says the second death has no power over them. You understand? Amen. That means you got eternal life. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay, and that's the fifth 1,000. Then we get to verse 7, and it says, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison. But when it goes to it starts at 8th verse. No, a verse doesn't start with and.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we see here that God orchestrated this verse where the last 1,000 years ends at 1:17. I mean at verse 7. Okay? Because I'm going to read how it reads. This is absolutely crazy to me. It says, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In the number, they are like the sands of the sea.
And then it gets to verse 9. They march across. Okay, so no one says, okay, the end of this verse is a comma that says and.
Correct.
Okay, so it ends at Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7 says the word thousand six times. And it's talking about the beginning of the millennial reign, which means the 6,000 are over. And now we're talking about the millennial reign. And God gives me a count that since me 6,000 years ends 2017. Well, this is chapter 20, 201 through 7, 2017. And then I'm on my falling off the chair in my office and going, how did you put that there? Amazing. But this was one of the very incredible breadcrumbs that I found, or that God led me to, as he's saying, I want you to prepare my people to leave. Prepare them to leave, okay? And it's going to be hard. I still don't know if the hard part is over, but it has been hard, right? Yes.
Her name is Pamela Howard.
That's her. That's our student.
That's her. And she said the classes are awesome.
Awesome. Praise God. And I will be sending your test to you very soon. You do need to write the letters without looking at it. But you can use your notes for all the rest of the test. Okay. Now, here we are with God giving us a 6,000-year count. Now, once I got the 6,000-year count, I'm just a guy doing a 6,000-year count. I'm not counting every year. I'm not seeing the 1948th year, Abraham father beginning to have his sons in the 1948th year. I'm not seeing the 17 years before the 4,000, but they're prophetically there, and God knows they're prophetically there when he had me do the count in the very beginning, right? So this count to me has been like, okay, this is divine, this is from God. I know this lines up with his scripture. Revelation 20, chapter 1, verse 1 through 7 shows me that. Now, I know the millennium hasn't started. You know, I know the millennium hasn't started because the tribulation can't start until the church leaves.
That's right.
And I know that Christ has decided that he is going to work an additional 7 years for his bride. But I know that he marries his first bride before that. Okay. Yes. So we're in this and we're trying to find out, where is the rapture? Is it on the 9th of Av? Is it possible that God is going to take the temple, this temple that is in the church, away from the nation of Israel? And then that's when the trouble began. Because remember, both times when the nation, when they lost their temple, they were sent into Babylon. They were dispersed throughout the world. On the second time, and then now, what's going to happen now? Will war come against them on after the 9th of Av if the church is taken out? These are very exciting times that we are living in. Why are they exciting? Because the 6,000 work week is now over, and the 120th Jubilee has already been declared, and we see what Satan is trying to do in the world as far as starting trouble and preparing himself for the tribulation. If I didn't believe in God or the tribulation for any other reason, the way Satan is preparing would make me believe that the tribulation is coming.
Yeah.
Because I've been warning about everything that he's been doing, preparing for the tribulation, since about 2006. When they first built when Halliburton first got the contract to build the 300 concentration camps, I first started warning people that Halliburton company had just built concentration camps, and they were calling them immigration detention centers throughout the United States. And I'm like, what do we need with 300 immigration detention centers in the United States? Who's coming here that we have to throw
from where? Mexico? They're going to come from Mexico, and we need 300 concentration camps because we never know when the Mexicans are going to just rush the border, and we got to have a place. So why were they building these concentration camps is what I was asking myself. Why are they building them? And then they were showing them. They were showing how the military was guarding them, and that they were empty buildings, and they were being prepared for this potential invasion. Then, when 30,000 guillotines were delivered to one of the concentration camps in Georgia, I went, "Oh my God." Revelation chapter 20 is coming because it says they will behead them who do not take the mark of the beast. So they're getting ready according to the exact word of God. Now they're putting guillotines at the concentration. Then governor of Minnesota, who was a wrestler, went to investigate and found out that they had 500,000 what they call casket liners. That's what the guy told him. But they were caskets big enough to fit at least two people in each one. So I'm watching as Satan is going, well, even if the church doesn't believe that the tribulation coming, I do. And I'm going to spend a little money preparing myself and getting ready for it because he knows that it's coming. Why does Satan know it's coming?
He believes the Bible.
Why does Satan believe the Bible?
Because he knows it's true.
Why does he know it's true?
He was there.
He was there when every prophecy got fulfilled.
Yeah, he was there.
Do you realize that? Satan was there when every prophecy got fulfilled.
Yeah.
When God told Abraham, your people will be mistreated for 400 years, and they will come out with great wealth. Satan was standing by trying to make them not come out of Egypt and stay in Egypt. And Satan tried to destroy him as they left Egypt because he was. But what Satan was watching was, oh, my goodness, what he told Abraham about the nation and what was going to happened exactly the way he said. So Satan is like, okay, let me see if he can do it again, you know? So God says, well, this is what I'm going to do now. Listen to this very carefully. God says, I'm going to give you and descendants all of this land, right? He names the place where he's going to give the Hebrews the land. He sends all of his demons to all of the areas that God promised that he was going to give to the Hebrew people.
Yeah.
So now they can't just walk into the land and take it over. They have to go and they have to defeat giants to obtain the land.
Woo.
And the Hebrews, along with the power of God, was whipping Nephilim left and right, taking the land. I mean, just getting people out of there. And before you know it, they had taken over Jerusalem and Israel. The whole area now belonged to God's people. Satan remembered God saying it before his demons were defeated, and then they moved into the land.
Yep.
It's crazy. So by this time, we're seeing God prophesying that Israel is going to come back as a nation. First, Satan saw both temples destroyed, and he saw them both destroyed on the same day.
Yeah.
He saw Israel come back into the land after 70 years with Cyrus, and then rebuild the temple. All of this. So Satan, thing this guy says he does. And after 6,000 years, we're getting close to that 6,000 years. I need to start preparing.
Yeah.
Because I'm only going to get 6.5 years. I mean, 7 years, 3 and a half of a false peace treaty. And then the last 3.5 is going to be straight out war. So I only have that so much time.
Really?
So it's like when it happens, I got to do what I did during the time of Hitler. Because during the time of Hitler, He was trying to destroy all these people, and he realized you can't just run through the street killing people. It will panic people.
Yeah.
So he built concentration camps all throughout Europe to keep these Jews and to kill these Jews systematically. So why wouldn't he do the same thing that he did? If he killed 6 million and over 6 million, if you count the other races and people that he didn't like, if he was able to kill millions of people in a 6-year span, okay, and he's only control of Germany. Now he said, if I'm in control of the whole world and I build these concentration camps throughout the whole world, what am I going to be able to do with 6 years and I got control of the whole world?
Wow.
Oh, so he's planning. Now, make Christians wake up?
Nope.
No, we're a bunch of church playing.
Yep.
Lord, you're going to have your best life now. Because the Lord then showed me in a vision. It makes a guy like myself, Chuck Missler, J.R. Church, people that are teaching the Bible, it makes us almost unusable to the church because we don't want to hear teaching. We want to be encouraged.
Right.
We want to be entertained and encouraged to have our best life now. And then it's to a whole. So then they think you're crazy because you're preaching what the Bible says to Revelation, the coming of the Lord,
yeah,
of the Gentile bride and the rescue of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
OK, simple story all the way through the Bible. That's what it's all about. God.
Amen.
So that's what we're trying. So I wanted us to look at today a little of, I was studying the number 119 in scripture today, because 117 is called dividing the waters, because in 117 you find 117 acts. There's 100 verses. Permeable scriptures concerning and the rapture. Okay, this whoever sees for each one. So it's the Psalms is showing that each year is talking about something that's in that year. Okay, now, so if Psalm 52, I was that there's no continue to search out the matter because I'm looking for the day of redemption of the church and our exit from here.
Yeah.
So with that, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I gotta find it because I didn't mark it, which I should have. Okay. Now 2 Peter chapter 3 coincides with a lot of scripture in the Old Testament, because as we read last week, Micah, after the rapture and the world gets crazy, Micah says to the audience that he's speaking to, now the day of your watchman has come. The time of your confusion is now. So he's saying all the people that were watchmen, the church has disappeared. Now the people that were watchmen, their day has come.
Yes.
Waiting for my day to come. I'm a watchman, but I'm waiting for my day of all this finding out and searching and keeping the church prepared and telling us we need to live righteous while these demons are saying, oh, once you're saved, you're always saved. And we're trying to tell people, no, let's live right. Let's be prepared and ready. We're on side trying to get people prepared and ready to go. Okay.
Amen.
So while we're doing this, we have to understand that it is a warning to the world. Your watchman's day is going to come. And that's in Micah chapter 7. In Isaiah 57, after rapture, then it says the world gets is that it says, who are you mocking?
Yep.
So once again, it says, you're the day of your... And so we keep getting this, that they're going to be mockers in those days.
Yeah.
Let's read about this day.
Was that 2 Peter?
This is 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read through the whole thing, and then we're probably going to shut it down from there. Okay? Now watch this. We're going to read through this. Dear friends, this is now the second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Why do we have to think wholesome? We're once saved, always saved. I want you to recall the words spoken by the holy prophets and the commands given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Wow, the Lord gave commands. First of all, come scoffing and following their own evil desires. Okay? These people are a bunch of crazies. Keep it up. But Satan knows something that you don't know. What does he know that you don't know? Everything. That's all your money. If you're a betting person, go to Vegas and put all your money on the fact that they'll see a rapture.
Amen.
Okay? Now, it says in verse 4, they will say, where is his coming? Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget long ago God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water and destroyed. Possibly forget the flood and the fact that, do you know, Satan was there when God told Noah he was going to flood the world. I'm telling you, Satan is preparing because he's watched God fulfill prophecy. And since you weren't there to see it, and I got to tell you, God fulfills prophecy. That's how you know he's real. And you can be 100% sure that this event is going to happen. That's why I need to live right. When I'm telling this, I'm telling you because I rewind the movie to the beginning and I'm watching God fulfill prophecy after prophecy after prophecy in exact timing, in exact timing. Okay? So here we go. Let's continue this. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. And there's a lot. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. God wants everyone to come to repentance. Now, if God says he's taking his time because he wants everyone to come to repentance, in his heart, God would want that every person gets saved. But he knows we got something inside of us that prevents it, and it's called free will and intelligent reasoning. We can reason ourselves right into hell because we're right. So we have to understand that God wants everyone to be saved. So that means he wants us with. He wants us telling people about Christ. It's not up to us to say, well, I guess he's just not chosen. We can't be Calvinists, okay, in this situation. Let's continue witnessing and telling people about Jesus. Hallelujah. And I got to go out and witness because past last week, I'm a witness in a while. And like, what work am I doing? I'm out and do some stuff, okay? Not that you're saved by it, but it's the pleasure to be able to do it. Right?
Amen.
Okay, now, so then verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Heaven disappear with a roar, and the element destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Okay? Since everything will be destroyed, destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. You hear that? Okay. So God says, what kind of people should you be? Oh, I think we should be once saved, always saved people. I think what we should do is just say, we're already saved. It doesn't matter really how we live. What is this? Why did God even put you ought to live holy and godly lives? Why? We already confess Christ. We by faith, we're in. No. When you got it, the whole concept is just stupid. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. You can't, anybody know that this, as you look forward to the day God and He is coming, the day will bring about the destruction of heaven by fire and the elements to a new heaven and a new earth. And the eighth day, I'm adding this, which there'll be no more counting, and eternity will begin with the new heaven and the new earth. But before you get a new heaven and a new earth, you know what you have to get? You have to get a 7-year tribulation and a 1,000 millennial reign, and then the new earth.
Amen.
We as children of God should know our Father's plan, right? Okay. New heaven and friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be spotless and at peace with God. Why? This is so crazy. God keeps telling us, live holy, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Come on, you guys, tell me. Is God warning us? Is God telling us that we have to put some effort in this and live a righteous life before Him? No one comes into Christianity so you're sinning. Just as our dear brother Paul also you with the wisdom that God speaking to them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures. Once saved, always saved. Because the scripture says, see, you can't take one scripture and make a religion out of it. Do you understand?
Amen.
So when people they distort scripture, understand there is a demon in the world. He does want your salvation. Yes, eternal life is a gift, but it's a gift you need to make sure that no one steals from you.
Amen.
Okay? And how do I steal that from you? Hey, I got some sin right under my coat. Let's go do this. Okay? You're once saved, always saved. Just come with me. Okay, therefore, in verse 17, dear friends, wait a minute. Okay, I'm going back to verse 16. He writes this same way in his letters, speaking to them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do others. Hear that? So if you're preaching that stuff, this is to your destruction, okay? Because once you preach another gospel other than the gospel that is preached, let that person be what? Condemned to hell, right? Preaching a gospel other than the gospel that has already been preached, let condemned. Yes. You understand?
Yes.
You can't preach another doctrine and be okay with God, okay?
Amen.
So if I come to preaching that Jesus is not God, that's not the gospel. That's not what if I do. I'm distorting the gospel. I think there's more than one way to enter the heavens because there are a lot of people in the world and many diverse can have there must be many different ways to get into heaven. I can't tell you that because I'm doing that preaching to my own destruction because I cannot preach opposite of the word of God. That is what a false prophet does.
Yes.
He preaches opposite of the word.
Amen.
Okay, did you have a question, Pastor Ben?
No, sir.
Okay, here we are. Okay, therefore, dear friends, since you all already know this, be on your guard. So who's he talking to now? Christians that are trying to live right.
Amen.
Therefore, since you already know that there are people that are coming that will that through their ignorance and their and that are unstable and they distort the word of God, and he says to their own destruction. He says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, because the scriptures also tell you false prophets will come, right?
Amen.
So he says, be on your guard, right? Get up in the morning, put on your full armor, and get ready for war, because you need to know the word of God, because they are not preaching to this to you to save you.
Right.
They're preaching this to you to destroy you, because
yeah.
if you think like the other guy did and be doing cocaine and in the midst of doing cocaine, and then you find out on your deathbed that you weren't escorted into the light into heaven, and then you make a YouTube video to tell us that my pastor told me I was once saved, and so I figured a little cocaine wouldn't bother me. Okay, and now you give your testimony, which has helped many people, and still people still tell you, no, once saved, always saved is the Bible. So that spirit can be coming from God.
Right.
Okay. You've had testimonies from hell, testimonies in the scriptures, everything, and you still want to preach the same thing. So to your own destruction, you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it says, so be on guard so that you may not be carried away by error of lawless men and fall from the secure position. Grow in grace and in knowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach. This message, they enjoyed this message because we still have so much to look forward to, because what? The plan on. And it's after the wheat harvest. And somebody got married after the wheat harvest and in the summer. Knowing that summer is near. There's so many hints telling us it could be this time. Hey, you guys, stay this time. The Bible is completely giving us hints. Why? Because the Lord wants us to stay ready. And don't let people come to you saying, being ready is not needed. You can do whatever you want, you know. You can't do that. So, go back over this. I gave you some Hebrew studies that I was doing this morning. Concerning 119, I have a whole other book to read concerning 119 with Hebrew structure in it, because I want to know how 2017, 2018, and 2019 are a unit of years that bring forth the prophecies of Micah and Micah 7 and Isaiah 57. Okay, so let's pray out. If anybody wants to do what Pamela's doing and go back and say, hey, I think I want to go through some of this Hebrew classes. Hebrew classes are open to everybody. Look, I'll send you the books by email.
Yep.
They're free.
Yep.
And we're not in this for money. Okay. I'm not packaging it up with me and Pastor Ben's pictures on it. Only $19.95. You know, we're not doing that, okay? The classes are free. And if you have questions, you can email me and I'll get back to you. Ask Pamela. I'll get right back to her. Let her know, you know, maybe not as fast as you want, but I give you this is what you need to do, okay?
Amen.
This looks good. This looks good. Because she's just like on it. She's like a jaguar, right? Because jaguar just loved the Hebrew so much, she wanted it to be perfect.
Rachel said, what, no book deal?
Huh? Oh, no book deal. We're not going to sign with Lucius Publishing.
If they go through the entire class, pass all the tests, can they get a diploma?
Yes, that's what Pamela's doing. Because listen, we are registered with the state of California, right here in Long Beach, California. And even though it is not, we've graduated so far, I could get the accreditation now. I just haven't had time or to do it. But it is a tier class that consists of a associate of arts degree in Hebrew biblical theology. Okay, and that is what Hebrew biblical theology. You're learning Hebrew. You're learning how it coincides with the Bible. Praise God. So, yes, that's what we're doing. And here we go. Lay out. And I'm going to say a blessing over you that the Lord commanded, that we say, that that Moses say, and I'm going to say the same blessing. The Lord bless you all, each and every one of you, okay, in our all over the world, wherever you're at, Africa, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'echunecha. Yaseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lechai shalom. Litriot, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Litriot b'shavua haba, Yom Chameshi on Thursday. We'll see you next week. And, or hopefully, since the 9th, the 10th and 11th is the 9th of Av, if we don't see you, I'll see you at the cloud party. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.